Nah, I won't embarrass him.
I'll embarrass myself if I do.
Yeah. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for getting us out of the bed and for bringing us to this place so that we could worship you, so that we'd learn more about you. I thank you for each one that's here, Father. I pray you'd bless them, encourage them with the word today. Lord, that they wouldn't leave here empty, God, but they'd go away full, wanting more of you. And I thank you. Thank you, Father, for the lesson, God. Thank you for the words that you've given me. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who will speak this morning, of what you have given me over the past few weeks. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. How many of you believe that the Bible is not a code of conduct for the Christian lifestyle? Anybody? I will. Although these are included in it. But what I'm saying is, the Bible is a book of keys that can access a life that cannot be accessed any other way. Any other way. We have to believe what the Bible says. Okay. The pursuit of the kingdom of heaven will require sacrifice and commitment to understanding God's word. It highlights the spiritual realities of sowing, growing, and the importance of understanding God's word. We have to do that to achieve a fruitful spiritual mindset. Okay? 1 Peter 1:23 is where we're going to start, John. For you have been born again, that is, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, not of seed which is perishable, but under that which is imperishable and immortal. That is through the living and everlasting word of God. If we study this out, the Greek word for seed used in this verse is spora, S-P-O-R-A. You must know what that means, Ed. You smiled. Yeah. Look on, we'll get the definition of it. And it means new identity, new purpose, and a new destiny. Spora also means parenting seed, fertilized seed, or activated seed containing genetic markers, codes of traits, hereditary qualities, and potentialities that are transmitted to offspring. Think about that. That's the seed that God deposited in us when we accepted him. All these things, his traits, his qualities, going to come out. You can't help it because we've been engrafted in. And if you think about engrafted, you fit to him. You grow into it and you become one. When we're engrafted, we become one with God, okay? In Matthew 13, starting at verse 10, if you study that whole chapter, it's talking about when the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, "Who do you speak to the crowd? Why do you speak to the crowds in parables?" Jesus replied to them, "To you it has been given or granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." They didn't know. Just like we didn't know before we got saved and started studying the Word of God, got into it and began to understand how good God was. If you think about it, the devil does not want you to know the Word. He'll do everything within his power to keep you out of the book. He'll do everything in his power to keep you from praying. He'll do everything in his power to keep you from fellowship and talking about him. People don't want to talk about him anymore. They want to put him in the closet. Let's talk about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has got to be brought back to the church in power. Got to be. If we don't, we're in a bad shape if the Holy Spirit don't come and visit us every time we meet together. And at home in our prayer time, in our private life prayer time, we need the Holy Spirit to show up and show out. Do we not? We need it. This world needs it. We're in bad shape. I tell you what, if the Christians don't get it right, it's up to us, people. It's up to us. God gave us the dominion power to make things happen here on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. His will's not going to be done until we start seeking the kingdom, and one at a time we're transformed, believing and knowing that we are in the kingdom of God. And nowadays it's so important to know the kingdom of God, to know all about it. The kingdom of God has been granted because he knows the minute you do, he'll lose control over you. He don't want to lose control of you. You can be a Christian and the devil can still be telling you what to do because you're listening. Your mind's got to be renewed with the word of God to determine whether it's you, yourself, the Holy Spirit, or the enemy. There's three ways we hear it, okay? We start speaking what God says about us and what we already have possession of through our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God chose us, who are his servants, to set up his governmental authority and rule his earthly kingdom. He gave the world. We're the ones that are supposed to rule down here. Everything. The will of God is never contested in heaven. It is on earth, though. People contest it all the time. The will of God says, oh Lord, your word is not forever settled in heaven. It's not settled on earth, but it's settled in heaven. And when we get that revelation that it's settled here on earth, God's already got the plan. For behold, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper. All these things. God's made the plans for us. We just got to learn to walk in them. Find out which way he's taking us. And not get on the broad way. Stay on the narrow way. Because God's calling us to a narrow walk with him. We got to pull in. Got to take it in. Psalm 119, 39 is 89 for when I just said, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. You will not enter the kingdom of God with your old mindsets. That's the reason the Bible tells us to renew our mind. Because our old mindsets won't accept what God says. We got to roll it all around, you know, and think about it and do all of this until we get settled in our spirit who God is and what he wants us to be. Matthew 13, 10, the disciples asked Jesus why he spoke in parables. You have heard it said, but I say unto you, this may be... You have heard it said, but I say this. But I say unto you, now listen, this may be the way it is done in your country. You are of this world, but I am from above. The keys I am giving you are to another kingdom, seeking the kingdom first. Matthew 6, 33. You must be born again spiritually. Excuse me. The Holy Spirit lives in you and his power is at work in you. Therefore, you live your life from victory and not defeatism. How many of you live from victory? Anybody? We have to. Yeah, a trick question. Yeah, you got it. But think about it. When he gave us the keys to the kingdom, we didn't know what he was giving us when he said the kingdom of heaven. But he said he gave us the keys so we could open and close what we could ask to come down to earth. What's bound on earth will be bound in heaven. What's loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. When we pray, do we use these keys? This is one of the keys God gave us. There's keys all through the Bible. He said, if any man be sick, let him call for the elders. Anoint him with oil and pray over him and they shall be healed. There's keys. We got to learn how to use the keys and find the keys in the Word of God. Yes, Lee Moss. Open the door.
Exactly. Wait a minute.
Okay.
But the original definition, we're spoiled by that in Western society where we don't have to use the key to lock the door.
Or crank a car.
Or crank a car. Originally, to shut and secure the door, you had to use the key. The first definition of a key is to lock something out. It is not
Ooh, yes, thank you, Lee. Thank you. That's a good impartation. We receive that. Okay, you must be born again spiritually. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and His power is at work in you. So we live in victory. Although we are adopted, because the Bible says that He adopted us, we're cleansed, we're given a new name, a new identity, a new spirit. We can still think like orphans, feel like orphans, and behave like orphans. And often we do that. God wants us to be more than just hired servants or hardworking orphans. Jesus adopted us into His family, entitled us to all that He paid the price for us to have. Are we? Do we? Are we living a life and using all that He gave us? Since Adam's fall in the garden, God has been trying to get us to speak with a kingdom mindset, live with a kingdom mindset. I'm tell you, it's not easy, is it? That's the road less traveled, right? We let go of our attempts to earn favor and rely on the finished work of the cross. How many times has Pastor John said that when he's been teaching on the kingdom? We let go and we depend on God. The more we surrender to God, the more our old self-worshiping nature is replaced with one that resembles Christ. Do we look like Christ to the world? Do we act like Christ to the world? Even to one another. The body of Christ is in fragments. And they've got to come together. He wants the whole and not the part. When the old song, you know, that we used to sing, I surrender all to Him I give. That's a meaningful song. There's the lady, I can't remember her name, Adelaide something another. She was thinking about going to Africa to be a missionary. And she was trying to raise the money to go. And she didn't raise enough money to go, so she thought that might not be, you know, God's will for her to go. So anyway, she went to a prayer meeting one night, and this elderly lady who was praying struck her with a cord, and it caused her to really think about what the woman said, because the woman said, "Good morning, Joyce. Come on in, lady." This is Terry Wilson's mama. Anyway, the lady said, whatever you want, God, let it be done. Well, she came back home after that prayer meeting and what that older lady said, and she wrote the song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. I am the potter, You are the clay. Have Thine Own Way. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Can we say that and mean it? Okay. I get it, y'all can. I'm going to take you at you, no raising of hands, that you all got it. Okay. For the clay to be what the potter wants. This is what God wants, to be what he wants out of us, to make us. It has to be put through the fire. Remember when we talked about the potter and the wheel, why God puts them on the pot, on the potter's wheel? He wants to make us what he wants us to be, and it has to be put through the fire. You have to fire the clay to get it hard. It loses its weakness and becomes firm and takes on the shape of its creator. That the creator gives us, we take on his shape, his mantle. This is not some random fire. This is the refiner's fire that is contained by the master. God controls the fire, and he'll determine how hot it gets. Woo! Think about that. So when you're going through the fire, it could get hot, people, really hot. And you say, have you ever been at a place in prayer, and the Holy Spirit has got you so contained, you're saying, God, let me out. Because it's when you get in that place and you're so deep in prayer and it begins to hurt, it hurts physically when you get in that place. And that's the place we all want to be in prayer. It's where we battle our fears, our doubts, our insecurities, even harsh critics, and even laughter from naysayers. All our uncertainties that tell us we are not good enough. You're good enough, John. You're good enough. We are good enough because what did God say? He created everything, and when he was finished, what did he say? It is good. So all of you, it is good. Thank God for that. Okay. We are vessels of mercy made to do his work in the world of our daily lives. Are we influencing the world, or is the world influencing us? Have we come out of the world? We're not part of the world system anymore. Although the world system is the Babylonian system, we've got to come out from under that mess. Because it is a mess. And be true to God. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Among them, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes. Let me see you high and lifted up. Let's see God, that he's up here. And he's pulling us up higher. He's pulling us up higher. So we ask ourselves some questions. What kind of life will touch the world with the reality of what it really means to be a lover of God and want his kingdom to come? What is the one thing that we are all looking for that will truly make us alive inside? Are you alive inside? There's sometimes I wonder if I am. If we're not following God up close and personal, and we're following him at a distance, we got to come back close. Do you know what following God from a distance means? How many of you think you're following him up close and personal? Am I putting you on the spot? No, Ed, we know you. We know your life. More to do.
Yeah, and it's like you do the best you can.
Yeah.
And then God will come and he will gently show you things where,
yeah,
you know, you get a little closer. That's why we keep coming.
Yeah.
Don't rest on your laurels, but he keeps showing me stuff. And I'm more like, I did not realize that. He helped me get closer.
Well, he said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that we do, maybe little things that we say, that spoil our connection with God. Some of us are on a... Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say,
wait a minute. We need to hear you, Jenny. Kristen. I can't hear you on Wednesday night, and I want to hear you today.
I was just saying, I think sometimes we choose what we want to walk closely with God and what we don't. You know, and that's a hard battle of your flesh, of course, that you have to crucify. But I think we choose. So.
It's a matter of being willing or unwilling. Are we willing to pay the price?
You want to say something?
Are we willing to pay the price? Willing or unwilling to go with God and let go of the things of the world? Mark 12:30. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Our greatest privilege is to have that hunger after God and seek Him with all our heart. A passion that no sacrifice will be too great to stop us in the pursuit of God. It is called consecration. The things that we willingly lay down. We willingly give up. Total surrender. Unconditional. Irreversible. Absolute transference of ownership. Every area of our life. And also our members, our bodily members, we consecrate to God. Yes, ma'am.
This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? You know?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, that he's working on it.
Yeah, that's right. He is. Praise God.
We're
then Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. He meant when he said this, one who regards the interest of the kingdom of heaven as paramount to every other interest in the world, above his own personal interest, above his interest in life, above his interest in the world. His only interest, our only interest, is to extend the entrance of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven. An individual has become a citizen of the kingdom when we do this, and we lose our own identity. That's how we lose our identity. Totally foreign to the kingdom of God, man. Have you ever been out there and you felt like you was totally foreign to the kingdom? It takes... This kingdom business is something else. John started a fire when he started that.
When we pray the Lord's Prayer and we say, thy kingdom come, well, there's no question he's the king.
Right.
But in order for it to be a kingdom, you got to have two things. The king and subject.
Yes.
So when I pray that part of the prayer, what I'm thinking about is he's taking care of his part. No question.
Depend.
More surrender to, more willing to let him be the Lord of every area of my life.
Well, he wants us to be dependent on him and not ourselves.
Amen.
And we're dependent on ourselves. Kingdom life is a life lived that will rebuke the lukewarm and the dead, the lukewarm and the dead. People don't want to be around people that are on fire much. They don't. I found that out. Yes, it is. It's kind of like if you're in the world and you're asked a question, and I think you'd agree with this, the world don't want to hear our Christian answers. They want a real answer from who you are, not, okay, who you are, who God is to you. They want you to answer from that aspect and not with some spiritual quote. They do. They want to be the. They want you, the real you, to come forth, and it's got to. They can see it anyway. Yes, sir. That's right. Yes, it is. Boom.
Okay.
Yes, it is, Mary. It really is. Living the Christian life is exciting. It really is. And I tell you what, when I first came to this church and I got into intercessory prayer right away, and I loved it. And I saw some of the prayer warriors, you know, down on their face crying, blubbering, snot running down their nose and all this mess. And I thought, I'm not going to do that. You're not going to get me to do that. Don't you ever tell God that. Because you will. That's when you're emptying yourself. When you're in that place. Did somebody say something? Yes. When you're in that place with God, and he's leading you in this prayer. You're not. He's the leading. He's leading. It's just total surrender in that place. Total surrender. Thank you, Lord.
Martha,
yes, ma'am.
That surrender and then experience I had a couple of weeks ago. You know, God knows what you need.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit knows right where you're at. And it doesn't matter where you're at. When he gets ready to do something in your life, he's going to do
that's
it.
That's right.
He'll
put you through the fire. Yeah.
But I love my times when I'm thinking about my day and I'm not thinking about anything in particular, but I might be standing at the dryer folding clothes and all of a sudden,
come on.
The Holy Spirit comes down on you.
Right, he will.
And you don't even understand what's happening, but the Holy Spirit knows what's taking place in the heavenly.
Yes, he does.
He's
yes,
the
he
real
does.
Of a holy God.
Now, was there a worship band or anything going on at that time?
You got it. You got it.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it's just one on one.
Yes. Oh, glory.
And what all this is about. That's right there.
Okay.
Just say something, and it doesn't matter how old you are.
Right. This is your son you're talking about?
My grandson.
Oh, your grandson, okay.
So, I just say it doesn't matter how old you are,
right.
Where you're from or whatever, he can just,
that's right.
He will just take over.
That's it. Well, yeah, he told us to come to him as a child.
Well,
yeah. We've got to have childlike faith, a childlikeness. We don't know a whole lot as a child, do we? But you know what? We were all born. Nobody had to teach us how to be bitter, how to be angry, how to steal, how to do this or how to do that. Nobody had to teach us that when we was lost. But see, we have to be taught when we come into the kingdom of heaven. That's the reason he gives us teachers, prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors. Because we have to be taught. And are you willing to pay the price to be taught, to let someone mentor you? Somebody that you see that you want to be like. Or you want to, when they're free in worship. I know when I went to Indian Trail First Baptist Church when I was living in Charlotte. And I just worshiped. You know what I'm saying? Like I would here. I worshiped like that. And I had so many people to say, I wish I could be that free. Are you free? Or are you... Loosen us up, God. Loosen us up. Let us be flexible. Even in worship, in prayer, be flexible. Don't think that you know it all or you've got it all together, because none of us do. Amen. None of us do. We realize our shortcomings. Whew, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Spiritual violence is an expression of our willingness to pay any price of self-denial in seeking and obeying God. Christians live as if their life still belongs to them. Nuh-uh. You're bought with a price. The blood of Jesus bought you. But a consecrated heart says, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, I loved what Mary said when she would come before, or what Martha said when she came to Elizabeth and felt the baby in her womb. And she looked up and she said, my soul doth magnify thee, O God. Our soul, our spirit, our body, our mind, all these things, spirit, soul, and body, we worship you with that. All of that. It's got to. 2 Corinthians 5:15. Excuse me. And he died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves. We no longer live for ourselves. God prayed to Pilate not to have to do that. But to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. Consecration, like I said, is the glad, free will offering to God our everything because of the love in our hearts for him. It is the solemn devotion and deeding over to God ourselves and all that pertains to us. You know, when you're in that place in prayer, God will show you what you're holding on to. He takes it, and he don't come at all at one time. It's a growing process that we give things to God. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Offer our bodies. Our bodies are a temple. Temple of God. And as such, we guard it. We take care of it. We take care of our temple because it's his. This is our true and proper worship. One cannot hide the overflow through consecration, that others will recognize the zeal, the passion that you have for God. You have Jesus, you're drawn to him. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. How do we seek the kingdom? The scripture in James where it says, I think, let me see if that's right. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, making tremendous power available in the heavenlies. The effectual fervent prayer, what is it? Well, to me, the perfect prayer is praying in the Spirit. But there's times, you know, that you need to hear the words in English too, so that, you know what I'm saying, you can get the whole measure of what God's doing. He said, I will sing with the Spirit and I will pray in the Spirit. What is he talking about? Sing with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. There's tongues that you can pray in the Spirit. How many of you do that? Anybody praise God in the Spirit like that? Ain't it wonderful? When he takes you to that place and you know what, I can't carry a tune in the bucket. But God said, just come and worship him. That's what he said, do, just come. Just as you are, without one plea. Just as you are, praise God, praise God. The expression of our willingness to pay any price of self-denial to seek and obey God. A life that is lived out only by grace and the power of God. Consecration, we got to have that commitment. That commitment to lay it all down. So the question to us is, are we willing to put ourselves totally in God's hand? It is not a question of inability, but a question of willingness or unwillingness. Am I talking to the choir? Come on, people. Yeah. Let's be real. Jesus becomes a radical intruder into our spiritual and personal lifestyle in the kingdom of God. Rewards are tied to being obedient to the King. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Coming to God with empty hands. Admitting we have nothing to give to God, but we depend fully and completely on him. Every area. Finances. God told us to be good stewards. And he just didn't mean over our finances. Every area in our life we need to be good stewards over. We need to be good stewards over our friends. Good stewards over our church, our pastors. Be good stewards with all of these. Pray for them. Encourage them. Praise God. Yes, ma'am. Yes. It is. Yeah. That's it. The other week when Mike taught, I came in, I think, on the last day that you taught, Mike. Anyway, you were praying, but you said something that really struck me. And that's that place, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. If we can give thanks to God in everything, and you know what, there's sometimes I'm just walking through the house and all of a sudden it'll hit me how thankful I am. And I just begin to weep. I weep when God shows me that. That I'm not thankful in this area, but he wants me to be thankful in everything. And it's easy to be thankful in everything. Because we go through a mess in this world. And we got to clean out the clutter. Remove the obstacles out of the way. And march on with Jesus. But I tell you what, a heart of thanksgiving, he's after it. He's after it. But a king is born into power. That's what Ed was talking about. I want to go on this first, because this is going to be the last thing today. When God asked, when he asked them, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" He asked the disciples that. "Who do you say that I am?" Who was preaching last week or somebody said, he said, "I am that I am." Right? I am that I am. I am your peace. I am your righteousness. I am your prosperity. I am your lover. He's a lover of our souls. I am everything that you need in this life that pertains to life and godliness. He's everything that we need. But we got to let him know we need him. We got to let him know. Help, Lord, help. Help us. Help us get in that place of thanksgiving. To get in that place of seeing you above everything else. We got to get into that place, folks. That's just first bill, right? Okay. Revelation 11:15 says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" The king determines who will be citizens and the standards for becoming a citizen. He said, "I have not chosen you, but you, I have chosen you." God chose us before the foundation of the earth. He knew what we were going to do. He knows you now. He knows your shortcomings. He knows when you're angry. He knows when you miss it. So why pretend? Just be honest. I thank God for real, honest people. Judy, you're real. Linda, you're real. You're real. You're real. You're real to me as a God lover. That's how I know you. The Bible says we should know them by the Spirit of God. When you know somebody by the Spirit of God, guess what? You know them. I love Debbie Langston when she come to here. I knew her by the Spirit, not her flesh. I knew her by the Spirit of God. And when you know somebody like that, they're your friend forever. And they're your mentor. They become mentors to you when you know them by the Spirit. And especially if they're more mature than you are by the Spirit of God. And at that time, Debbie was younger than me in numbers, but she was more mature than me than the Spirit. She taught me a lot. I went to her house and seen her on her face. Mother Milam that used to come here, and she died, bless her heart. The boys used to tell me they'd come home from school and she'd be sprawled out on the floor praying tongues. Hours at a time. Whew. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for an attentive hearing audience, that they have ears to hear what you're saying through this message. And I thank you, Father, for giving me the words to say, God, for putting the unction in me, God, to put in the fire in me. Lord, don't let that fire go out. Keep rekindling it, spark it. If others have a spark, let it hit me. Let us hit each other with the sparks of fire that God has put in us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.